Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Teach us, ground us, guide us with your wisdom and your love. Amen. We are taught to go out and seek out and desire that which is great, impressive, famous, and large. The galaxies, the grand canyons of the world, the cathedrals, the Wall Streets, the great discoverers, poets, writers, inventors, business people, politicians, adventurers. And in a sense, rightly so, they give us something to aim for. They gave us incentive to excel, goals to reach, bootstraps to pull up on. They impart a sense of space and grandeur, effort, miracle, awe, mystery, transcendence, going beyond what one thinks is possible. And we are taught that our lives should be full of meaning and worth, excitement, love, power, sexual satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness, influence, effectiveness, achievement. Whew. That's a long sentence. We are taught that great effort will be rewarded greatly, and that the bread cast upon the waters will lead to good results. We are told to keep working, striving, trying, going upward. And again, that gives us goals, objectives, end products. It keeps us on the path toward what we might become. And even the reign or a kingdom of God is something to be worked toward, for doing so is a good and righteous thing. And we find tremendous satisfaction in giving ourselves to such a high and holy purpose, that of co-creating with God a better, wiser, more whole, more peaceful world for all people. We are fixers of flaws. We are healers of hurts. We are creators of communities. And so our energies are focused on love and peace and psychic and physical health, right relationships, freedom, wisdom. Now, think about the redwood tree. Many of them are 300 feet or taller in height, some are over 1,000 years old, and all of them began as a seed so small that you can hold 1,000 of them in the palm of your hand. Think about a grown human being, full of thought and activity and intention. Each of us began when an egg and a sperm combined to begin the miracle of human growth. I think about the email I received yesterday from the San Francisco Food Bank telling me that if I gave online, that my $1 would be multiplied 9 times. 9 times. I couldn't resist. I gave online right then and there. In our headlong rush toward higher and better things, we come across the story in 1 Samuel of a sea change in the history of ancient Israel, when God determines that King Saul is not the right one, after all, to lead the people. The prophet Samuel is sent to find another leader, one with different priorities, motivations, one with a better soul. So he goes to the town of Bethlehem, and there he finds the man called Jesse, who has 8 sons. Surely one of them is God's chosen one, the one meant to lead the people. And Samuel sees the oldest one, Eliab. He's tall, he's strong, he's imposing. And Samuel thinks, he's the guy. And the Spirit says to Samuel, no, not the right guy. Keep going. 6 more are paraded in front of Samuel, and the Spirit says to Samuel, no, not the right one. Finally, Samuel asked Jesse, I thought you had one more. Oh, he's out there watching the sheep. Well, bring him over. So he comes over. He's the youngest one, probably the physically least impressive. And he stands before Samuel. He is described as ruddy with beautiful eyes and handsome. Wonderful. But can he fight? Does he have a strong personality? Can he lead a nation? Can he lead an army? We can almost see Samuel and the watching people shrug their shoulders a little bit and sigh as they wonder just what the Lord is up to with this shepherd boy. This one who is not very big or strong. This one who is treated disdainfully by his father because of his youth, almost as though he were an outsider to the family. His name is David. And then we come to Jesus' parable in Mark's Gospel, which again redirects our attention from that which is impressive to that which is small, unnoticed, by the side of the road. Instead of encouraging us to strive upward toward the stars so as to build the kingdom of God on earth, we are told instead about a farmer who plants seeds in a field. We are told about a mustard seed, which is not the smallest seed in the ancient world, but which is close to it, but which eventually grows into a plant capable of holding wild animals. Birds come and find shelter. And that is the symbol or picture of the kingdom of God, of what God wishes to recreate here on earth in the midst of all the peoples and nations on earth. It seems too small, too slow, too weak, not much possibility for greatness. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And so we are told that the kingdom of God grows in a mysterious, hidden way, independently, largely, of human effort. Growth is spoken of as the miraculous work of God. Harvest as a gift, a miracle. One commentator says that this parable is significant whenever and wherever we Christians take ourselves and our efforts too seriously. I know you and I never do that here. Seeking by our plans and programs to bring in the kingdom of God. Against such arrogant self-importance stands the word of itself. In Greek, automate. We get automatic from that. A subtle allusion to God's hidden presence and power. Well, we've got to think about the parable, about the farmer. Does the farmer just go down the rows and toss the seed and go away and one day, magic, it's all there? Of course not. Real farmers spend a lot of time and energy working against forces that would do in the seeds. The farmer has to plow and fertilize, get rid of bugs and weeds, provide irrigation. And yet, with all that work, farmers, and maybe you have known some, I have, they wait in faith. Because they never know what the weather's going to do. They never quite know how good the seed or the fertilizer, how all that will work together. Talking about pledges and giving. My very first parish, I was out in Northeast Oregon, and they grew alfalfa and cows and horses and whatnot. And many of them didn't know how much they could give until November or December, because they didn't know how the harvest would be. So we were all waiting in faith, hoping for the goodness of nature and of God so that these folks could give to the church. They just couldn't tell until the end of the year. So when the farmer works, and the parable says, as they sleep, growth happens. Not because of their efforts. Maybe perhaps alongside, in cooperation with, but not just because of all that sweat they put into the ground and into their crops. So you could say that we're like the farmer. We have our jobs to do. We cast seed on the earth. We make ourselves ready to participate in the harvest when it is time to bring out the sickle and bring down the grain. And God's job, so to speak, is to create this natural growth. Well, think about a wedding ceremony. No matter how simple or intricate, a wedding is, in a way, a casting of seeds upon prepared ground. That the seeds might grow into something strong, long-lived, flexible, healthy, generative. All I can do when I meet with a couple for a few times before they get married is explore what I consider important subjects or the ones that they bring up. Things like, oh, communication. And the role models in their lives, their hopes and goals, what they do about their spiritual growth. Things like that. And then develop the wedding ceremony itself. And the ceremony, when we actually get up here, is the outward sign of what has been going on inwardly. And as I say those words, I declare you husband and wife. I do so in the prayerful hope that we have planted together something small that will grow into a fruitful plant, a generative kind of being, one that has its own center in and deep roots in the divine, and out of that love and wisdom and peace that grows and conflict within that relationship, out of that will flow light into the world over the years, over the decades. I have a friend whose name is River Sims. He works on Polk Street and in the Tenderloin generally with street kids. These are folks who have been thrown out of their homes. They're gay, they're drug users, they're prostitutes. He's been there over 10 years. He takes interns, by the way. He enjoys having people along with him to see what happens. And he writes this in his latest newsletter. We are invited to live out our vocation, our calling as Christians in our daily lives. We are called to be humble, kind, patient, and to bear with one another in love. All of us are simply human beings who hurt, suffer, rejoice, and eventually die. No matter how much money we have, or how many degrees, or what positions in society we hold, ultimately we are all the same. So walk with each other in humility. Walk with each other as equals. I have volunteers who come for a while to work on the streets with me. They get impatient after a while because it seems that all I do is hang out. I talk to people. I give them something to eat. Mostly hang with them. I listen to their mundane conversations, sometimes for an hour or so. But it is in taking the time to listen that the incarnation takes place, that Jesus becomes visibly present. People are loved. They are cared for. They find themselves worthwhile. There is very little I can offer them in the physical realm, but always I can offer kindness and patience, offer to walk with them in the moment. We can all offer that to each other, to walk with each other in the moment, give each other kindness and patience, and to be present to each other in love. He quotes Thomas Merton, "Love is the guarantee that the life of the Spirit is growing in us. Love is the sign of the Holy Spirit at work in the church and the world." The kingdom of God on Polk Street? So we might make in our minds a contrast between the redwood trees, which grow in California, and weeds or crabgrass in our lawns, if we have lawns. We love looking at redwoods. They're tall, majestic, powerful. To me, they are a sign of eternity. The crabgrass, however, perhaps the mustard plant in the Middle East is the equivalent. It gets all over the place. It can grow large, perhaps somewhere, some places it's a weed. But perhaps we can look at Jesus' parable and say, God's rule is not like a redwood tree. God's kingdom, God's reign is like a weed. And that interpretation challenges everything we've got in us about striving, about going somewhere, about being the best all we can be and the best anyone else can be. And yet, when the seed is covered by cement, what happens? The weed grows and forces its way through the concrete. Perhaps that's a contemporary retelling of what Jesus said to his followers 2,000 years ago. The weeds will find a way through the concrete out into the open air. And that is the kingdom of God. So, when we look at our own souls, or when we look at this church, we want to see magnificent redwood trees. Do I have an amen? Oh, I'm sorry, you folks don't do that. Please? Oh, well. Yeah. We want to see big changes. We want to see heroic changes. We want to see huge shifts in understanding, programs, well-being. We want to see the place filled. We want to see kids running all over the place. Well, perhaps it's enough that we look down and see the weeds. The small things that are tenacious, that grab on and hold on and endure and grow. Perhaps that's the way we live into the parable, both individually and as a community. Perhaps that's the way, one way in which we can live into this parable of the seeds, of the mustard seed. Who knows what will become of them? As we sow them and as we water, as we plow, as we pull the weeds, as we fertilize, as we sleep, as we wake. Because with all that work, we are also working or waiting in faith, waiting for the Lord to bring those things which are growing into maturity. The shepherd boy David had a long way to go before he became King David. And yet God saw the possibility in him. God saw the possibility of the kingdom of heaven in him. David was not perfect. We know that. But God saw in this shepherd boy such possibility that could grow, force its way through the concrete, come out into the open air, and be effective in the world. All this takes our cooperation, our taking part in the slow, hidden growth of God's work within each one of us, and between us, and then beyond us. May it be so. Amen.